This is Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. We're reviewing the changing political landscape after yesterday's historic midterm elections, and we want to hear from you. What do you hope can be accomplished in Washington, D.C., now that the GOP will be in charge of Congress, even though the Democrats still control the Senate? You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Earlier today, Massachusetts Senator John Kerry held a news conference at his office in Boston, and he talked about the challenges ahead for the Massachusetts delegation.
Well, when you're not chairman of major committees, you've lost some clout. So the fact is that while we maintain seniority in a lot of members in the House, we're not going to have quite the same ability that we did before for the state. On the other hand, they're still very senior. They're still ranking members of those committees. And as anybody will tell you, you do have to work with your ranking members. So it hurts, but we're going to continue to be able to do what we need to do for the state.
Joining me now on the line from his office here in Massachusetts is the congressman from the state's 8th District, Michael Capuano. Mike, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Always a pleasure.
Mike, you were the only member of the Bay State's congressional delegation not to have a Republican challenge yesterday, but congratulations on being reelected in any case.
Thank you.
As we just heard John Kerry say, that there are members of the Massachusetts delegation that will lose considerable power and clout as a result of now being members of the minority party. Talk to us in your view about how that will impact Massachusetts.
Well, it's I think as John Kerry just said, obviously in the minority you can do less. But we're this time in the minority, we again all of us except for Bill Keating have served in the minority, and we were pretty successful then. Most of the people in the delegation are pretty good politicians internally. But again, when you're in the minority, it is measured differently. Success has to be measured differently. The difference in this time and the last time is this time we have the White House and the Senate that are both Democratic run. So. In theory, we should be able to be even better than we were the last time.
Now, you've been a close ally of Speaker Nancy Pelosi, and she retained her seat in Congress. But speakers customarily resign from Congress if they preside over major losses to their party. Now, we don't know if that will happen, but does her fall in general diminish your power in the House?
I don't know about that. I mean, I'm friendly with the speaker because I thought she was a good speaker, a good person, and we saw eye to eye on most philosophical issues. But I get along with Steny Hoyer, I get along with Jim Clyburn, and get along very well with John Lawson, Javier Becerra, and I think, again, that's the measure of being a good inside politician. I know that's not necessarily a good thing to be in some people's books today, but nonetheless, it helps the constituents that I represent for me to be able to negotiate inside better than most.
Is there any expectation that Nancy Pelosi could retire from Congress before she serves out her term?
I don't know. I haven't asked her that, nor would I. I think she has to. She's earned the time to think about what her future is on her own.
Mike Capuano, you have a seat on the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee. When you return to Congress, do you expect to maintain that seat? And because I'm wondering that if you were to lose it, could that affect projects like the planned Green Line extension in the Boston area?
No, I'm highly likely to keep the seat. I mean, the members don't lose their seats. I have enough seniority that I won't get knocked off no matter what. The question is, will I look at other opportunities? And you just never know until you get down there and see who's doing what. Probably not. I'm pretty happy with my committee assignments. But we'll see as we go forward.
You've been willing to be a critic of this administration for compromising too much on things like the health care bill. As you look at yesterday's election results, what is the lesson there to you about compromise? Do Democrats need to do it more or do it less?
No, I mean, compromise depends on the issue, just like anything else. I mean, health care, there was compromise without getting a single vote in return for it. That's ridiculous. And my argument is if you're going to compromise, you have to get something for it, and that's cooperation. But when you compromise and still get no cooperation, why bother? You've simply turned to your base and said and tell people, forget it. So that was my criticism. It's not the compromise. I'm all for compromise anytime it will bring a result. But if it's compromise just for the sake of compromising, that's bad politics and bad government.
President Obama spoke this afternoon for quite a long time about yesterday's election results. Let's listen to a short piece of what he said.
You know, when I won election in 2008, one of the reasons I think that people were excited about the campaign was the prospect that we would change how business is done in Washington. And we were in such a hurry to get things done that we didn't change how things got done. And I think that frustrated people.
Do you? I wonder if that resonates with you. Do you think that his assessment is fair?
No, I don't. I think that's ridiculous. I don't know anybody who, well, not many, very few people care how things get done. They want to know what you got done. Do we have a job? Can I keep my house? Can my children attend college? How you get there is really, it's an interest inside the Beltway. It is of no interest to most of my constituents.
So it's about results. That's what they care about.
It's about results. And it's about results and about knowing what's in those results. I think the Democratic Party in the last 2 years, we had some good results. I think we missed some good opportunities. Particularly, we should have focused a lot more on jobs. We couldn't get that done for reasons that are still beyond my comprehension. But that's number one. Number two is even the things that we didn't have a good message to inform people what we had done. The stimulus is the best example. Here we are. We took a lot of criticism for the stimulus, yet people who voted against it still fought their way into the pictures to take credit for whatever projects are being funded by it, number one. Number two is even today, as I speak, there should be a nice, easy website that I can pull up somewhere that lists all the jobs that were saved and created by the stimulus, and no one can do that. Even as a representative of the city of Boston, I cannot give you a definitive number as to how much money the city of Boston has gotten out of the stimulus. I could figure it out, but I have to go through 25 documents and 50 people, and that's bad politics and bad government. And I say it because the bad politics is you don't get credit for the grief that you take, and the bad government is people deserve the right to know what has happened under your watch. And if they like it, fine. If they don't like it, fine.
So although it may sound like PR, you're saying that besides just getting wins, you actually need to trumpet those wins so that people are very aware of accomplishments.
Absolutely, and trumpet them in a way that people can understand them and measure them easily. And the stimulus is the classic example. It should be an easy measure how much money the city of Boston got in the last 2 years, and not just them, but anybody, got in the last 2 years without question, and how many jobs were saved and how many jobs were created with that money. And if the fact that it can't be done is, I think, probably the biggest, there's no one reason, there's a dozen reasons, but if I had to pick the top of my list, that would be the top of my list. The lack of simple explanation of what we have done. And knowing full well that some people won't like it anyway, that's okay. But even people who would normally like what we did didn't know enough to be able to give us credit.
The new Republican House Speaker-in-Waiting, John Boehner, has been quite aggressive about his win. He said he will work exclusively to push forward a Republican agenda. Of course, the House still has to work with the Senate and the White House. But I wonder whether you think what's waiting for you is just massive gridlock.
I think so. Look, John Boehner can say whatever he wants. First of all, I don't know if that's just campaign rhetoric or not. We'll see. But if that's what they do, they can win in the House. They can't do that in the Senate. And if the president allows that to happen without vetoing whatever the bill might be, well, then he's doomed to failure. And I think that he won't. I'm hoping that President Obama understands that he's the last bastion for those of us who believe in democratic principles. And if he has to veto certain things, he should. And he should do it aggressively and clearly. It's amazing to me that one of the reasons we get beat up is because people thought you weren't compromising enough, and people say, well, you're not working enough together. And yet the person now who's probably going to be the speaker has publicly stated he has no interest in even doing it. That's pretty amazing statement to me.
One thing that a House majority can do without cooperation from the Senate or the White House is pursue investigations into the White House. You know, take your pick, investigate whatever you want, send in the lawyers and knot everything up. Do you think that's a possibility that we're going to see that happen?
I think it's a likelihood. That the Republicans love doing that. The last time they tried, they impeached Bill Clinton on charges that normally would have, you know, again, not necessarily comfortable, but no, not grounds for impeachment. And I think most Americans knew that, and it cost them dearly politically. So I think that it's inevitable that they will do that. Many of the people who are in line to become chairman of various committees have actually said so.
When Scott Brown won the special election, many people said, you know, Massachusetts has finally turned. But now some people are saying that election was just a fluke. How do you account for it?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's too early to call it a fluke. I mean, it might end up being one historically, but it's really too early to tell. Politics is a cyclical thing. It comes and it goes. I mean, waves come and waves go. And I think over the next year or two, we'll know whether it's a permanent change in the Commonwealth or if it was just a fluke. And if that's the case, I think it'll be well known within 2 years.
Mike Capuano, as a final question, I'm actually going to put to you a question posted on, actually not a question, it's a comment posted on our website from someone named John. And all it says is, and this is in regards to you, of course, it says, I hope he runs for Senate.
Thank you, John.
Is that going to happen, maybe?
I don't know. We'll think about that one probably early next year.
Thank you very much, Mike, for coming on. Congressman Mike Capuano represents the 8th Congressional District in Massachusetts.